The vital importance of promoting practical cooperation between Muslims and Christians has been underlined recently by Pope Benedict XVI, particularly following the misunderstanding over his remarks about Islam at Regensburg University. But just how easy is it to put this idea into practice, both at leadership and grassroots level, in countries where Muslim and Christian communities live and work side by side?
Before we can talk about maybe a very open and very sincere dialogue, we have to build up trust in one another.
Father Michael McCabe is an expert on interreligious dialogue with the Society of African Missions. He lived for many years in Liberia and frequently returns to the African continent, where the order is present in 16 different countries. My colleague Susie Hodges asked Father Michael for his assessment of where the interreligious dialogue between Catholics and Muslims stands at this point in time.
I think it is really time to move on at this stage, and I think the Pope has apologized sufficiently, and he has made it clear also that he has a profound respect for Muslims and that his position is certainly in line with that of Vatican II, which represented a really watershed in the relations of the Catholic Church to the followers of other religions, emphasizing what we have in common, our common beliefs, and our common commitment to the promotion of peace in our world.
Now, the Pope has spared, in fact, no effort to resolve this misunderstanding. His comments on it, his meeting with the Muslim envoys. What more needs to be done now, do you think?
Oh, I think there is a lot more that needs to be done at different levels, though not all certainly at the level of the Vatican. But the Pope did speak of his constant efforts to build bridges of friendship between peoples of religions. And I think that must continue in different ways, through visits, through respect, through meeting delegates of the different religions, and I think through, as well, listening to them. I think the dialogue really is only beginning. You know, it's we have to get beyond just saying nice things about them. We have to listen to them and respect their understanding of their own religion, getting kind of beyond polemics. And I think at local levels, a lot more can be done, especially in the dialogue of life, working together to overcome poverty, to overcome injustices that exist, and to promote peace and human development. So really, I think a great deal more can be done at different levels, but it's not all up to the Pope, of course.
And what feedback have you got so far from your contacts in Africa on this whole issue?
I think people were rather worried in Africa, and especially in places where there is a strong presence of Muslims, that the reaction might be rather negative. And there are tensions, certainly, in many parts of Africa. So I get a feeling that there is relief now that the Pope has made these efforts to reconcile and to improve the situation, to lessen the tension anyhow, and that hopefully from here, relationships maybe will be better, and maybe there will be a greater understanding of one another. And that's a hope more than a reality at the moment.
When it comes to the church leadership in Africa, do you think they are sufficiently committed to the concept of interreligious dialogue?
I think that they are committed to it, but it may not be an issue of major priority for many of them because there are so many other issues that are very important. But I certainly would think that the leaders in Africa certainly take their cue from the teachings of Vatican II and are trying to promote certainly a more positive approach to the followers of other religions, working with them where it is possible and cooperating with them, and certainly showing respect in to the followers of other religions. So I think that in general they are following that line. However, I think it needs to go a little bit deeper than that, and that will take time. They have to listen to one another, more and strive to be more open to one another. And the Pope mentioned a kind of reciprocity. And reciprocity, I suppose, means really each side being prepared to listen to the other and respect the right of the other to interpret their own religions and to say what they believe in and how they understand God and humanity and our common future.
We talked about the church leadership and their commitment to interreligious dialogue. Does that very often, though, does that always filter down to the grassroots level? Do you think it's here perhaps more that there are lingering misunderstandings?
Oh, I think the mistrust is still there. I think it will take a long time to overcome the centuries, really, of hostility and mistrust that has existed between the followers of different religions. And I think in a particular way between Christians and Muslims. And remember that Vatican II is only 40 years ago. And it was at that time that really the church kind of started to speak in a different way about the followers of other religions, not to emphasize the differences, not to emphasize what they saw wrong in another religion, but to emphasize what we shared in common and expressing a commitment to dialogue. And I think we're only at the beginning of that, and I don't think it has filtered down to grassroots level. There has been a dialogue of life in many places, for example, in Africa, where Christians and Muslims exist side by side. For example, when I was in Liberia, there were many Muslims there, and there was a great respect, I think, between Christians and Muslims. And I think it may be in more recent times, unfortunately, that relationship has disimproved, really, because of worldwide tensions and this feeling now that Muslims have that they are opposed by the Christian world and that it's a clash between them and the Christian West. And it's associated also with Western values, which very often they repudiate or are suspicious about.
You talk about this clash, and of course we hear a lot about this clash of civilizations, particularly in our post-9/11 climate. Do you think, in fact, it's incidents like this that have helped, as you say, sow greater suspicion?
Well, I think the suspicion is there in any case, but I think that everything that leaders say can now be interpreted or read in the light of this suspicion. And it becomes so much worse, because even myself, I was utterly surprised by the depth of reaction, the strength of reaction to the Pope's speech, a speech that he gave in a university context. It just shows that really we have to be very sensitive to that context today. And we have a long way to go before we arrive at the stage of a trusting dialogue where we're really open to each other. I think the Pope mentioned in his responses that he wanted a frank and sincere dialogue. I think that that's an ideal and something that we must strive for. But before we can reach that, we have a lot of trust building to do. We have a lot to do to give the others confidence that we are willing to listen to them, that we don't desire to dominate them, that we respect their difference and their right to practice their own religion and their right to their own beliefs. And I think that a lot more has to be done on that kind of confidence-building measures. I think, for example, of Pope John Paul II, the previous pope, entering into a mosque and praying there. Certainly that was a gesture, I think, which will give many, many Muslims confidence that the Catholic Church respected the followers of the Islamic faith. Likewise, too, the event in Assisi, where the followers of many religions prayed together with him. Those gestures do build up confidence and help to build up trust.
And my thanks there to Father Michael McCabe of the Society of African Missions.